Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to Big 12 Nation Podcast. Couple things going on in the conference right now. Number one, obviously, the College Football Playoff Committee is trying to railroad our beloved Big 12 Conference again with these BS rankings. I'm so fed up with it. I'm so sick of seeing Jeff Long's face and his dumb gestures and ESPN hyping him up and all this garbage. I'm so fed up with it. I don't even want to go into it. I'll go and end up turning this into a tirade or a bashing session. You know, that's not the right thing to do. But, you know, it's obvious the guy's biased. I mean, just looking at how he is an SEC athletic director, and magically, no matter what, an SEC team gets in. When Alabama's only loss is to Ole Miss, and Ole Miss has lost to Memphis, the AAC team, and Baylor's only loss is to Oklahoma, a top 10. Oklahoma State's undefeated. Iowa's undefeated. It's unfair. I really wish the Big 12 commissioner would just honestly say to hell with that committee and just say, you know, we're going to separate them. We'll do our own damn national championship thing, and we'll just go against the WAC and Mountain West and the Pac-12 and other conferences and just say to hell with this. If y'all want to do SEC, ACC, and the thing that makes me really mad is that when you look at last year Florida State was the defending champion, and quote-unquote was the ACC was weak or whatever you want to call it. So they kept bumping Florida State down to 3-4. And they kept moving Alabama up once again, with the losses they had. And to me, is how the hell did all of a sudden the ACC get stronger this year when, quote-unquote, the only team they let in last year was Florida State and they weren't that strong? You mean to tell me, you know, because that's all Notre Dame does. Notre Dame plays ACC schools. That's who their contract is with, ACC schools. So I don't understand how on God's earth magically the ACC all of a sudden got strong. And when did the ACC get stronger than the Big 12? I mean, let's be realistic. TCU would kick anybody's ass in the ACC. Okay, Texas Tech would score 42 points on anybody in the ACC. Oklahoma would kick anybody's ass in the ACC. Oklahoma State would do the same thing. Texas, even though they're up and down with Charlie Strong, and that'll be one of our final things, his situation in Texas. Will he stay or will he go? Texas would give people fits in the ACC. You know, the only people that would get destroyed in the ACC would be Kansas, and that's just Kansas has just got awful this year. I don't think they're going to win a game. They didn't give Turner Gill enough time. They got rid of Mangino, who had the program in historically great situations. Charlie Weiss, you know, we don't even need to get into him. Everybody knows he's been known around to be a jackass towards his assistant coaches and just in general, not a fun guy to work with. But, you know, I sit there and I look at it, Oklahoma State, Baylor, TCU, the top teams, hell, even West Virginia, the top teams or the teams with winning records in our conference in the Big 12 would give problems to people in the ACC, hands down. Put Baylor on a neutral side with Clemson. Put TCU on a neutral side with Clemson. Put Oklahoma on a neutral side with Clemson. Put Oklahoma State on a neutral side with Clemson. I take my money on any four of those Big 12 teams any damn day of the week, easily. So I don't understand why all of a sudden the ACC got so damn powerful where they got two people in the top rankings, one from the SEC, one from the Big Ten, and the Big Ten is the one who won the national title last year. I could at least respect you having two of the Big Tens in there because they were the ones who won last year. You know, I just hate how they force. And then we got Texas Tech, who obviously beat Arkansas this year. Arkansas has already upset a couple of SEC teams, including LSU, which beat Ole Miss. I mean, I could go circle for circle with who beat. Like, if you really broke down what Jeff Long and the committee is doing, you could break down their bullshit real quick. If you said this person beat this person, strength of schedule, all that bull crap, you could beat them down real quick. When you look at Arkansas losing at home to Toledo, then they beat LSU, and then LSU, you know, beating this team, and you could relate it back to somehow a team in the Big 12 being better. So they put in who they want to put in there. So my top four, though, and what I think most people's top four in Big 12 nation, or, you know, even when you go to the West Coast, some Pac-12 people, let's say, the top four right now should be Ohio State, Oklahoma State, because they're undefeated, Iowa, and Clemson. That should be the four. They're all undefeated. They're all resilient. Alabama wouldn't be in there because they got one loss, and anybody else with one loss shouldn't be allowed in there. Notre Dame shouldn't be allowed in there. I don't think Notre Dame could beat Oklahoma State on a neutral site. I just don't. I don't think there's many people that would disagree with me other than the propaganda wagons over there at, you know, ESPN or Jeff Long and his bullcrap. You know, it's thoroughly frustrating what they're doing to the Big 12 conference. And they're saying we need a title game and all this other shit. You know, we don't need a title game. We need some fairness. We need a fair shot. We need an equal opportunity to go play some of these other teams, not just the same old hot air that we hear all the time. Well, we got this conclusion from this, and we got this conclusion that. Well, how the hell did you get the conclusion that Alabama goes all the way up to number one or number two with a loss to Ole Miss? And Ohio State's the defending champion. I could at least respect their decision if they kept Ohio State up there because Ohio State is a defending champion. I could respect that with no problem. But them just jumping people, it just lets me know that him being the SEC commissioner is faces. And another thing, how are they doing this crap in Texas? This is Big 12 country, Texas. I mean, we have four of our schools there. How are we just letting these people make these decisions, disrespecting us right in you know, Big 12 country? You know, go somewhere else. Go to Alabama and make the decision. Don't come here because obviously you don't respect us just by how you do things. You don't respect us. It's totally unfair. So the second news of the day is obviously the whole Charlie Strong situation in Texas. And some people are rumoring he's still going to Miami. Some people are rumoring he's going to stay. Either way, how you look at it, it's going to be a win-win. If he stays and they give him time, I think Texas will be better. If he leaves, then the people at Texas will get what they really wanted. And what they really wanted is Nick Saban. And Nick Saban's wanted out of Alabama for a while. Actually, Saban wanted to go to Texas the last time, but the athletic director and some of the people who are the boosters, they didn't want Saban to do the thing the way he does his thing. And what I mean by that is Saban's not going to kiss a lot of ass. He's not going to shake hands. He's not going to go to booster meetings. He's not going to elbow rub with this person or that person. He's going to say what he wants, does what the hell he wants, and he's going to want control over his personnel. And if you want to win, you just have to give him that space. Everything can't be good old boy network. Charlie Strong is to that to some extent, but he's a little more lenient than Nick Saban. Nick Saban runs the show, you back off. And that's all it is. Boosters, chancellors, presidents, administration. He runs his stuff the way he runs it. Everybody else backs the hell off. And Texas wasn't ready for that at the time and the people that they had in, you know, amongst the administration. But if they could make some tweaks and if Charlie Strong goes to Miami, they might be able to land Saban, because I know he's wanted that Texas job for a while. And that's somewhere where I could see Nick Saban being at for a decade before he decides to call it quits. So, and as far as Charlie Strong goes, him going to Miami, I mean, we all know what he did at Florida. We all know what he did at Louisville. I mean, he would have that state on lock as far as recruiting, and Florida State and Florida would be in big trouble. I think the U would be back just based on his recruiting ties and all the kids who made it to the NFL that he's recruited out of Florida, all the kids who've been successful in life that he's recruited out of Florida, all the high school coaches that he's got connections with in Florida. I mean, it would be easy money for Charlie Strong if he went to Miami. I mean, he spent a third of his college coaching career in the state of Florida in general. So to him, it would be a win-win. To Texas, it would be a win-win. Because they could get who they really wanted, because we know what Red McCollum said. He really didn't want Charlie Strong in there. So it's a win-win situation. It's something that could be absolutely beautiful for both. Or if they decide to stay and decide to give Charlie two more years, then that's fine. But we all know how people in Texas are. Texas has to be the best, the elite all the time. And it is one of the top five coaching jobs still as far as facilities, money, and other things. It's just, it's a top-notch job. TCU, I mean, I'm sure TCU and Baylor, you know, Art Briles and, you know, the head coach of TCU could argue that easily, saying, oh, well, I have the best job in the country based on what they've done the last 4 or 5 years. As far as programs, yes, their programs are elite. Their programs are legit. And they're great programs, but I'm talking about in terms of resources. And we know college football is all about who has the wealth. And Texas just has that much wealth. You know, TCU and Baylor are on top right now, but Texas will always just have that wealth. Well, does that mean that they'll win on the field? No, it doesn't, because Art Briles and Patterson are great coaches, so that doesn't automatically guarantee them wins on the field. That definitely means that they always have a chance to get a big name as a coach, but it doesn't mean that they will have a chance to be at the top. And I really thought Strong had turned the corner there when he beat Texas and then he beat Kansas State at home. I mean, had he just beat Iowa State on the road, I think he's on the up and up. Had he just, you know, beat Iowa State, West Virginia, this game coming up, Texas Tech, had he finished out and only lost to Baylor, he would have been sitting pretty for next year. You know, the only thing that frustrated me about Strong was the Cal loss. That's a game that they should have went home, and the Oklahoma State loss. You could say there were some bad, you know, refereeing calls. There were some questionable calls in that Texas versus Oklahoma State. But, you know, other than that, had he just, after the Oklahoma upset, had he just probably won, you know, three in a row, he'd be sitting pretty right now. And I think had he went 8-4, 9-3 next year, he'd have been fine. And then the next year would probably be the year where he would have to compete for a Big 12 title or a top five title. And, you know, it's just not going his way right now. Doesn't mean he isn't a great coach. Sometimes he's just not a great fit. I mean, just like Gene Chizik, he was at, you know, Iowa State and had a subpar record, and then he goes to Auburn and he wins a national title. He gets fired from Auburn. Auburn is starting to see those struggles again, like they are with Gus Malzahn this year, and now he goes to the University of North Carolina. Larry Fedora was on the hot seat, and now they're a top 25 team with one of the elite defenses in the country and have a chance to upset Clemson. So, I mean, there you go. That's twice Chizik is showing he's a great coach. Sometimes it's not about great coaches or great players. You have to have a combination of everything for things to work. You have the combination of fan support, great coaches, great players, great alumni, and great boosters for this thing to work in college football. And they all have to work together and respect each other enough is the way they can get things done. That's how college football works. So we'll see what happens in Austin. You know, I wish Charlie Strong the best. If he leaves, if he stays, whatever he does, I wish him the best. Hopefully he can get that win against Texas Tech. And we'll see what goes from there. Other than that, just, there's some big games this weekend in the Big 12. There will be every weekend from here on out because we need Oklahoma State to go undefeated. But, you know, we'll see. I really hope they can go undefeated just to see if they give us the runaround again when it comes college football playoff time. So this week's schedule, you know, it's a good one. You know, I can't wait to see what happens. Obviously, we know Oklahoma versus Oklahoma State. They win out. You know, it'd be amazing. But let's take a look at the schedule this weekend before we get out of here. This just was a quick podcast to talk about the Big 12 Nation. I'll post it on our Big 12 Nation Facebook page, and we'll go from there. Who would have ever thought Oklahoma State would have been the one undefeated? I mean, that's crazy. They had to fight Central Michigan for a win at the beginning.
They got a solid win against, you know, UTSA, and then they escaped Texas. I would have never thought that Oklahoma State was the one that would carry the torch. You know, they struggled against Texas Tech. I mean, that was a shootout, my goodness. 70-53, that's a damn basketball score. That was crazy. So this week is a big one. So they play Baylor, but they got Baylor at home. You know, I usually would want Baylor to win, but Oklahoma State has the biggest chance for the Big 12 to get in the college football playoff, and that game's at home. Hope Oklahoma State wins. I hope Oklahoma State also beats Oklahoma at home, even though I love Bob Stoops and I love the Sooners and I respect them, but it's all about Big 12. Let's see if these guys at this playoff committee are going to give us the runaround again. So the next 2 weeks are crucial in the Big 12, and they got two tough opponents coming up. And we'll see what happens. But they have them at home, so they should be able to handle their business. We'll see. TCU has Oklahoma. They're at Oklahoma. I think Oklahoma wins that easily. They've been on a roll since the Texas loss. They just have been on fire. TCU will probably finish 10-2 or 9-3 this year, go to a solid bowl game. And let's see, on the bottom side of the pack, West Virginia plays Iowa State at home. West Virginia is at Kansas. They should be able to win that. They should be able to win at Iowa State or versus Iowa State. They should be bowl eligible, get to a bowl game. Baylor, obviously they have Oklahoma State and Texas left. They're finished. We already read Oklahoma State. Texas Tech should get bowl eligible, which they are actually, they already are bowl eligible. So they got Texas. That's their last game of the season. We'll see what Texas does. And if Texas Tech goes 6-6, they'll get to a bowl game. That'll get Cliff Kingsbury off the hot seat a little bit because he was on it after not making a bowl game last year. And he just got to get a damn defensive coordinator. That's all Kingsbury has to do. He gets a defensive coordinator, there'll be no problem. He'll be solid. He'll be good to go. That's all he needs is a defensive coordinator for the Red Raiders. Kansas State, legendary coach Bill Schneider. I have nothing bad to say about him. 0-6 this year. Kansas is god-awful. We don't need to talk about them. But K-State will play Iowa State this week, and Iowa State will be battling for bowl eligibility. Well, actually, no, they lost to Oklahoma State, so it's over with. So Iowa State, the best they can go is 5-7. So I don't see that happening because they won't be West Virginia. So Iowa State will probably finish 4-8, and then that'll put Rhodes back on the hot seat. And that is exactly why I think Charlie Strong got in so much trouble. They should have won that game at Iowa State. They won that game at Iowa State. They're bowl eligible. They're in a bowl game. His job is safe. But those are the important games this week in the Big 12. Those are the games with big implications. And I like TCU. I like Baylor. Great coaches. Love Oklahoma. Bob Stoops, great coach. But for the Big 12 to get a shot, Oklahoma State has to finish undefeated. So I'm hoping Oklahoma State finishes undefeated. And if they don't finish undefeated and they get railroaded again, screw the system. Because it's bullshit. We already seen that a Big 12 team. Here's what makes me mad. Is the dude that's in charge of the committee is the athletic director at Arkansas. Our so-called subpar conference that they leave out all the time had our middle, not even middle, but lower the pack team, Texas Tech, kick Arkansas's ass. So, and then Arkansas is going to be in LSU's ass, so they had the top four already this year. So I don't understand how the Big 12 could be left out. I'll get more into this next time on Big 12 Nation. Everybody, enjoy the podcast. I'll put it on our Facebook page. And, you know, let's go Big 12, and hopefully, you know, we can get in this college football playoff. Peace out, everybody. Have a good one.